So it's really good to it's really good to be here and to have prepared this message this evening. I know a couple of weeks ago I was planning to speak on it was the week we canceled church. I was planning to speak on the topic of inauthenticity and specifically how the fear of confrontation can lead to passivity and whatnot, and didn't get to talk about it because church was canceled. Tonight we're going to talk Paul. So Paul, that was kind of at the beginning of Galatians, and now we're a little over halfway through in chapter 4, and Paul is giving us an example of this, we brush right up against this topic of what it means to be. What it means to appeal to a community or appeal to other people as a friend, and really as more than a friend, as an intimate member of that community. And also, I mean, he did it very directly and confrontationally too. So, yeah, I really appreciated your prayer for a believer, a community of believers and friends. That was really fitting. But let's pray before we jump in. God, I'm grateful to be here, a part of this community of believers and friends, people who hold me accountable for saying things into a hot mic, and also people who I love hanging out with. So be with me as I share what I've been reflecting on, and be with us as we all continue to journey with journey together and journey with this message specifically tonight. Amen?
Amen.
So, first, I want to talk just a little bit about this idea of a letter. We talk a lot about the letter to the church in Galatians, and Paul writes a lot, but for the context of the teaching tonight, I think I just want to talk a little bit about the writing itself. This letter, the specific one to the church in Galatia, is in a style of a kind of the Greek style would be like a letter of blame, or like a letter of rebuke. It's corrective. It's Paul writing back to this community and trying to say he's persuading the audience, right? He's persuading Galatia to change what they're doing, and it's pretty stern, as we'll talk about in a little bit. In this and in other sections of the book, Paul lines out his complaints of the church in pretty open, clear, and rational arguments. I'm at least sure that he thinks they're rational. And he's also not incredibly mean about it, right? He often, as in this passage, he tandems that stern tone with themes and analogies that would be similar in like a letter of friendship or a pen pal or something of admiration with one another. And we'll briefly look at how Paul makes that connection, then transitions into an argument, and then offers a stern correction and again appeals to the emotional connection. So let's pull up the verse really quick. So friends, I beg you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. You know that it was because of a physical infirmity that I first announced the gospel to you. Though my condition put you to the test, you did not scorn or despise me, but welcomed me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What has become of the goodwill you felt? For I testify that had it been possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to exclude you so that you may make much of them. It's good to be made much of for a good purpose at all times, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I am again in the pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, I wish I were present with you now and could change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. So you kind of see what he's done there. You might recognize this little writing style. It's a quite popular tactic used by siblings, teachers, parents. It's a way of softening the blow. Danae calls it a compliment sandwich. I don't know if you could, like, one example would be, like, you have such a big heart, but you're sometimes a little clingy and annoying, and I just want my own space, and I love you very much, right? Like, that's a compliment sandwich, right? Or maybe more accurately for our house, like, thanks for doing the dishes. Well, this one isn't very clean, and you missed a spot, but I really appreciate that you did them, you know, like.
It's Minnesota nice or passive aggressive.
It's very passive aggressive, right? It's super passive aggressive. And so he kind of does this thing where you see at the beginning, he's like, friends, you know, like we're together, I'm with you. And then he makes this argument and then he says, you know, these people are really not who you want to be hanging around with, but I love you as a child. And I think that it may seem incongruent. You know, Paul talks about this directness and that we should be holding one another accountable and clear. So it may seem incongruent that he does this seemingly passive-aggressive thing, but actually, in this writing style, he is substituting his letter for his presence in the community. So it's like it's standing in, it's kind of a surrogate for him not being there in person. And so it's actually what may seem like a shallow attempt at kind of softening the blow is actually a very important aspect of this letter. It's appealing to that established relationship that he has, and it's evident that it's a very intimate relationship, and even across that distance that he feels. So that connection, you know, we take it for granted what it means to be in community sometimes. I think that sometimes we talk about the covenant values, and many of us even center our social lives around different people in this room. I'm speaking, of course, about our community here at Third Way. And I think that, you know, we love each other, and we're supportive of one each other, and we get it. But there's an important aspect of community as accountability. And and it's exemplified here in this passage of trying to in that strong connection making that argument or suggested correction. And so I want to emphasize that strongly, that this isn't some important person on high who has all the knowledge, who's telling these other people how they should think, right? This is someone who very much loves and cares for this community, and is writing back and saying, I'm really worried about you. This connection is even more than just friendship, because in verse 19, male teachers are often referred to as father, and Bonnie talked about child what it means to be a child of God last week, but there's a clear connection in this first verse to this idea of friends. So they're equals. That's the first thing. So even though Paul recognizes that there is a teacher-student kind of relationship, that there's also this, I'm speaking to you on the same level. I don't hold all the knowledge, and I'm not sending it down to you. I am here with you, caring for you, and talking with you. And these are, and 13 to 15 are spent even giving more emphasis in that argument for the strong connection that Paul has. He references the hospitality, which is talking about how they welcomed him as an angel of God, just as Christ. So because he was sent as Christ's agent, they welcomed him as if he were Christ, which is incredibly hospitable, as you might imagine. And also that thing about the gouging out of eyes is kind of a weird way for him to say, you know, friendship is often talked about in terms of sacrifice. And he's saying, you would have literally gouged out your eyes for me if I had a problem with that. And so this is all reaffirming of that initial statement, the bread on the compliment sandwich. But like I hope to emphasize that it's not a light connection. This is Paul very much affirming the heart of this. Now we get to the meat, right? 16 to 18. I put them on a separate slide because it's hard. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to exclude you so that you may make much of them. It is good to be made much of for a good purpose at all times, and not only when I am present with you. Is this clear to anybody? No? Yeah. It's not very clear, especially out of context. Okay? So the most important thing to think of, they that Paul is speaking of are the Judaizers. Okay? They're using a lot of flattery in their speak. They're trying to appeal to the identities of these people. They tell people what they want to hear, right? It feels good. It's empowering that these demagogues were loud and proud and they gained popularity quickly, but they, you know, ultimately didn't show much care or concern for the community. Does this sound like anything, right? This is why the connection is so important to make. Right? This is why it's so important for Paul to make that connection, because his argument, it's a central part of his argument. His argument is that these people are teaching an alternative message, but they don't have buy-in, right? They don't have a connection. They don't have that caring point. And he's pretty straight up in telling the Galatians that they're following the Judaizers out of flattery, but when they were following him out of love. Right? They were seeking that relationship. They welcomed him. They had them in her home. There was a mutual relationship. And this is why it's important. It's an example of being direct and to the point, even though it kind of doesn't make sense out of context. But now that we know who they is, it makes a little bit more sense. It's an example of being direct and to the point, but doing so under the familiarity and mutual accountability of strong communal bonds, the bonds of equity and love. So I think it's also important to note quickly the second piece of bread in the sandwich. Verse 19 returns to the reaffirmation of relationship in an incredibly intimate way. This is where we kind of see that Paul not only loves these people as friends and as brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's much stronger than that. It's paternal and it's maternal as well. He brings back the images of parenthood, and he talks about in the last verse here, my little children, for whom I am again in the pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Using that image of the pain in childbirth and talking about that motherly relationship is an incredible image of sacrifice. It was widely known at that time and of common perception that the labor pains that women felt in giving birth were the most severe pain that you could feel on earth. Like that was just a very common thought. Okay? And he is saying even in that pain of childbirth, so this is a picture of he's in great pain and it's also talking about, so unfortunately, in that time, even with the most skilled midwives, there was a high mortality rate for mothers. And so it doesn't just speak to the care of his relationship. It also speaks to that abandonment, that piece of him feeling as if they have left him by following some of these Judaizers. That he's kind of gone away. He wishes the passage, or he ends the passage wishing that he knew that he could change his tone and wishing that he knew what to say better. How can I make this argument in such a way that convinces you, that connects with you? And you can tell that sometimes the distance... the distance just isn't close enough. But it's tiring and taxing work, and it pains Paul to do it, to write this letter, and it's reaffirmed that his intentionality was indeed a surrogacy for his presence with them. And so once again, just to make sure that we're giving Paul credit for sandwiching that piece of that argument for his case that they're following the Judaizers, is that he really was doing this out of concern, because he saw in that context, he saw the Judaizers were creating this community. They were creating anger and angst and a lot of exclusion for this community that he felt very fondly for. So now what? What does this mean for us? I think that a clear thing is that we need to be direct in our communication. We're a community, and as we say in our covenant, it's important for us to hold one another accountable. And it's also important for us to establish strong, loving connection, intimate, something greater than just friends, something greater than just this thing that we call our meeting together on Sunday and in house churches and whatnot. It should be a kind of relationship that's life transforming, something that causes us to go deeper, to seek to go deeper, and to be able to have the kinds of conversations that are tough. Just as Peter said earlier, we're about to enter into some significant conversations in our church about sexuality and what does that mean and how do we hold our differences together. And I want to reaffirm that in us, our ability to do that, and to remind ourselves that we're doing that in that intimacy of relationship in the church. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it's there's a notion, there is a teaching notion in Paul's, I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but in Paul's admonition of the Judaizers, of the they, right? There's, it's hard to preach this context, and in a previous version, I had spent a lot more time talking about specifically the context of our global trends towards nationalism, and it's just really easy to flatter ourselves sometimes with things that make us feel good and that are not not connected to what really matters and to the central kind of to our central community. I think that this is an example of let me restate that. I want to ask, how do we hold this example and keep from being like that, but with the church? How do we keep from being nationalistic and how do we keep from being not in the political sense, but in this sense? How do we keep from being all about us and forget the context that we're in and forget the things that are happening around us? Because it's really easy to focus on the internal without recognizing that we're part of this larger context that's really important. So that's like a brief minute and 30-second overview of kind of a main part in this passage. But I just invite you to make sure that we're holding the world in. And I'm glad to be a part of a community that does that in some of our conversations. But I think that we can do better sometimes in holding that space more officially with one another and in private. So with that, I would like to close in prayer again before we invite Omar, Jess, and Matt up for a closing song. And so if you join me in prayer. God, I thank you for this community, for the ways that we hold one another accountable, for the ways that we do, as Paul is appealing to the church in Galatia, the ways that we do work at keeping from focusing on ourselves and keeping from that flattery that can blind us from issues that matter, from our neighbors, from our friends. Help us to overcome that. And I pray that as Paul was instructing, that the vehicle that can do that is this community here, that we can be that encouragement, that we can be that that place that helps hold one another accountable, that helps to draw our eyes into places that matter, and supports one another and encourages one another along the way. May it be so for us. May we feel the love, and may we love on others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.